Zach Stevens, now DNVR Broncos. The Broncos have also requested to interview both Cowboys coordinators, Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore. So Zach will continue posting there. Love following Zach on these updates. So we got three names now in the mix. Jerod Mayo and Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore. Moore to no doubt come in. I mean, he's 33 years old. Is he an offensive mastermind? I'd be all right there. See, this is, I'd rather go this route. I want to go this route of the guys perhaps young and up and coming, new ideas. I just feel like we get into this point in the NFL where we're recycling over and over and over. And I'm ready for the Broncos to be a part of kind of what the Rams are doing, what the Packers did with Matt LaFleur. I'm ready to see that. First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. This goes back to hey, George Payton talking about what's more important, head coach, quarterback. What is more important? That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because it depends on who you ask, I guess. I mean, if you look at the Patriots, I think Bill Belichick is proving, perhaps, from his perspective, and again, we're going to see how Mac Jones does. Mac Jones has been surprisingly really good in his rookie year, and the Pats are in the playoffs. Is the coach more important, or is it the quarterback? Now, be careful here, because you can't just say the quarterback, but only like four quarterbacks, because there's only like four or five quarterbacks in the NFL where you would say, yeah, I mean, those guys are way more important. Like, I mean, Tom Brady, as great as he is, Bruce Arians has been pretty good and rebuilding, kind of retooling that Buccaneers team. It's going to be hard-pressed for me to say anybody's more important than Brady or Rodgers. But I do look back at Pete Carroll when they won their Super Bowl. That was the defensive deal there. I mean, Russell was good, but he wasn't like playing at a Hall of Fame level until after that. They won that Super Bowl against Denver, being a defensive-minded team. The Legion of Boom, right? So, George wants to get the head coach figured out. Kellen Moore's here. I mean, is that a guy that can develop Drew Lock? It's an interesting prospect. Does it sound like Drew Lock is done, though? It sure sounds like it after talking to Zach Moore and the discussion they had with George Payton. Basically, not painting him in the best of light. You know, talking about winning games, and Drew wasn't the guy that he didn't do that. And bottom line, he didn't. You know, if he was that good, he could have found a way. But I stand by this whole thing that they haven't developed him. He's had Vic Fangio as his head coach the entire career. I mean, his head coach just got fired. That's going to be a very interesting one to watch. Wow, how about last night? I want to get into that. I got to talk about that, man. This Raiders-Chargers game, because of all the way all the scenarios played out, the Steelers found a way to win. They just needed one team to win. They just needed the Raiders to win or the Chargers to win, and they were in. And all of Twitterverse world was going crazy. They just wanted to see a tie ball game, which would have been very strange to have, you know, to have him, Ben Roethlisberger, not get into the playoffs his final year, which we all pretty much know, because of a tie ball game.
That would have made me laugh so hard.
Not me. I wanted to see Big Ben in the playoffs one more time. I don't want to root for a tie. Trust me, my eyes were peeled watching this TV because of that. Because this would have been the first time it's ever happened, right? Two teams tie and both get in to knock out to not allow a team their ticket in. Now, this is what's crazy about the whole thing. I think they were all of the understanding they were going to compete all the way through until it came down to overtime. And so you had the Raiders driving and making it down the midfield because they score. Okay, they get in overtime. Raiders get the field goal. Chargers go down and get the field goal. Raiders get the ball back. And they march down to midfield, and you're starting to wonder, are they going to just let this thing go? What are the Chargers thinking on this? So then they're on the what? The Chargers 40-yard line? It's 3rd and 6. Not a gimme of a field goal. You don't chance it from there, right? Because if it's blocked or you missed it, Chargers get the ball at midfield. 3rd and 6, clock is ticking down, and Brandon Staley calls a timeout. The Raiders go back, talk about it again, and they decide, yeah, let's go win the game. They get the first down. They get in field goal, better field goal range, and as you know, the rest is history. The Raiders make the field goal. They move on to the playoffs. The Chargers don't. The Steelers get in by beating a depleted Baltimore team 16-13. Somehow, Big Ben is not done. Now he's got to go, you know, play the Chiefs. But that was wild, wasn't it? Absolutely bizarro world. The Colts lose to the Jags. They get eliminated. Now, Brandon Staley, back to the Chargers-Raiders thing, was asked, you know, why call the timeout? He said, well, I thought they were going to run again. I didn't think we had the right personnel in for our defense. So I called a timeout to get that in. That works in every other game, but not that one. Like, you're seeing the clock. You almost got to gamble at that point. You don't call timeout because I think the Raiders, and again, you saw Trent Siege and Austin Eckler. That's like a viral clip now. Our two friends, our two Eaton boys. I think they were former players of the week here. How about that? Midfield, there's a clip on Twitter that clearly seems to be, at least, showing them discussing whether or not the Raiders were going to go for it, try to score, or just kneel it. And it appeared that Sieg was telling Eckler, hey, we were going to be done because we were just both going to go to the playoffs. And then Eckler looked frustrated, and you saw Herbert on the side and all that. That's bizarre, man. That was a weird situation. How are you feeling if you're a Chargers fan today? Now, it was, again, was it the right call if it were a regular game? Yeah, you don't like your personnel. You're banking on them kicking a field because nobody plays for a tie unless a tie guarantees playoffs. I think that's what's nuts about it. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that was so weird. It's just so, you know how much I want my team to win. This would be the only time that I would be okay with tying.
I was reminded when overtime started back in my WCW days, when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO, he came out as Hulk Hogan and everybody loves him, and he was going to fight Kevin Nash for the title. And in order to get Hulk Hogan to join the NWO, Nash was going to take the fall, so Hogan goes up, pokes him in the chest, and Nash falls down. Hogan pins him, and he becomes Hollywood Hogan. That was what I was thinking was going to happen in overtime last night, that the offenses were just going to run the ball, kneel it on third down, punt it away. Punt, 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 punt. Let's get out of here. Let's go to the playoffs. You guarantee it. Now, did you want to see a tie happen in that situation? I kind of did, but kind of didn't, because I like, you know, the competitive nature. It's weird. Like, we just kind of agreed to back into the playoffs together. I think that's bad football karma. And that could have haunted both the Raiders and the Chargers. And it may haunt them anyway. But I just thought that was interesting. There were a lot of people wanting the tie because, I get it, we'd never seen anything like it before.
Well, this does make for a great rivalry next year.
Oh, no question about it.
You're going to want a revenge game.
But it's not like the Raiders screwed the Chargers over in this, you know, unsaid agreement that they had. It was kind of like the Raiders felt like the Chargers screwed them over because the Chargers called the timeout. And so the Raiders looked at it and said, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing, man? We're going to run this out. We're going to win this thing. Or we're going to both go. You called a timeout. You're going to try to get the stop and then go beat us? Screw that. We're getting a first down and we're going to win. Sorry, pal. So it would have been funny, though. One team says, yeah, let's tie. And then fake kneel. Hail Mary time. That would have been something else. 15 minutes after the hour, let's talk to Jerry Schimmel. coming up. He's my guy. He is the voice of the UNC Bears, but he is a sports legend throughout the state of Colorado. I want to get some Nuggets thoughts from him, some Bears thoughts from him, and so much more. We'll talk to Jerry coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We keep getting news following Twitter along today. Ian Rappaport just put out moments ago, the Broncos are requesting permission to speak with CU legend and Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy for their vacant head coach spot. So the interviews are stacking up, or at least their requests are stacking up for the Broncos. Joining me now, a man we request to hear all the time, is the voice of the UNC Bears, the host of Amazing Americans, and overall just extremely knowledgeable guy, probably my best friend in the entire world, Jerry Schimmel. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Oh, thanks. Must be a slow day. You got me on, huh? Appreciate it.
Is it too soon to say we're the best friends in the entire world? We've only known each other for like six months or a year or so.
No, we are, though. That's the truth.
Okay. All right. Usually when I do that to people, they get very awkward and it's weird and then I never talk to them again. So my wife wonders why I don't have any friends. Jerry, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about you, Brady?
You know, we got a lot to go over. My goodness, this whole Broncos situation is very interesting. A lot of names popping up. There's a lot of intriguing names on this list.
I agree with you, and you know, and that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? I mean, you want to have an exhaustive search. You want to make sure that you get all the candidates into a group and then break them down and reduce them and find your guy. So, yeah, I think when you get in trouble. I don't know about the pros so much, but in college, I think colleges get in trouble when they hire head coaches because they got somebody in mind. I used to coach here, so let's get him. He's our guy. We're not even going to do a search. We're not going to talk to anybody. We're going to just place this guy in this spot. And that a lot of times doesn't work. And in the NFL, I think they've gotten past that. I don't think they have guys in mind and going to slot them in. Let's cast a wide net and see what happens. See if we can get the best guy out there.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think what I want to kind of see, and I'm not saying I'm 100% against retread or guys that have done it before, but I do like the idea of bringing in, you know, coordinators or positions coach, young and up and coming, new ideas, not even the young thing, just up and coming, perhaps. Maybe they have these kind of unique ideas, the Sean McVays of the world, Shanahans of the world. And I know those are rare names, but it would be interesting to at least see if the Broncos kind of want to start from the ground up with somebody.
I think they're doing that. I think they really have their eye on somebody like that. And I think any team in the NFL that had an opening would want to go that direction if there's that guy out there. If there's that Kyle Shanahan that you know you can plug in and looks like he's going to be the next great coach. What I've seen over the years, and Brett, you've seen this too, is that it's not one particular personality that wins in the NFL. It's different guys. I mean, Sean McVay's he's the real vocal guy, and then there's Bill Belichick, who's the greatest of all time, who doesn't say a word, and he's still got all his success. And I did an Amazing Americans interview with a former Dallas Cowboy, Roger Staubach, one time, and he said Tom Landry, the legendary coach, never ever gave any kind of prep talk. Zero, nothing, no motivation, no words on the board, nothing. It was just all X's and O's, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So different personalities fit in the NFL, but I think you're right. I think the Broncos, especially after Vic Fangio, who doesn't have a great personality, looking for somebody with a little flair, a little energy, nothing wrong with that.
It's interesting, isn't it, how those personalities, you do have, it's like a combination. You have to hit that right code, and that's why general managers, you know, they're short-lived. They have a few years to hit that code, to find that correct combination, and if you can't do it, you're out the door. You're looking for something else. So that will be the challenge now for George Payton, finding somebody that can mesh here, and of course the quarterback too.
And I love what he said already, George Payton, and that is, hey, we're looking for a leader. And I think that's really where you start. You don't necessarily look for X's and O's. You don't necessarily look for a coordinator defensively or offensively. Look for that great leader. And I think that's what you need in today's game. And doesn't have to be a vocal guy. I mean, you look at Mike Shanahan and talk to guys that have played for him, several guys that have played for him, and he said, they all said the same thing. He didn't say a whole lot, but when he did, well, you listen because you had respect for him. And so you got that kind of personnel, which just kind of fit in between. But I think you just look for the right guy. And I believe the Broncos are doing it the right way. They're going to, I think, bring a lot of guys in, at least talk to a lot of guys and find the right one. Find that combination of leadership and talent and plug him in and let's go.
Talking to Jerry Schimmel, Amazing Americans, my goodness, that's a huge name in Staubach. You get so many great names, so many inspiring stories, and I love that program. Of course, the voice of the UNC Bears as well. But I got to pick your brain about the Nuggets. I know you and I are big Nuggets guys. Of course, you've broadcasted so many games in your wonderful career. The Nuggets kind of in the news over the weekend, signing Boogie Cousins. I like the move. I mean, I know he maybe has some personality problems, but if there's a guy that can maybe get that contained and get the basketball side out of him more, that might be Michael Malone.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think it's – I think it's a safe move. I think there's little downside to that one. I mean, you don't have to pay much. There's a guy that got tremendous talent. And you know, after a devastating injury, he's past that talent. He's past that, 20 points, 10 rebounds a game type of talent. But I think he's still a contributor. And what they're looking for, I think, Brady, right now, is to fill some gaps with tough, hard-nosed veteran guys that just want to go out there and play. They're not looking for the next contract. They just want to play, and they want to win. And I think Cousins is in that group right now, despite his history of some problems off the court and some attitude issues. But I like the signing. I really do. I think he'll come in and help. I mean, he's not going to light the world on fire offensively, but I think it's a good, solid addition to the team.
Jerry, I thought last night's game was interesting with the Nuggets and the Thunder. We've seen teams double-team Joker. That's nothing new. But, man, they were dedicating themselves to doubling him, to fronting him, to bringing another defender kind of in that head underneath the basket, ready to swoop it and steal it as soon as it goes to Joker. And I thought a lot of the guards and passers to Joker, they were hesitant to get the ball to him. Is that something we should be worried about? Until the Nuggets really find that consistent secondary scorer, are we seeing teams just going to absolutely sell out and put on the double team every single possession almost?
You know, I think there's some of that, but I think Jokic is so smart. He's such a great basketball player that eventually he's going to figure out every defense you throw at him. And he has really done that for the most part in his career. And that's not the first time a junk defense has been thrown at him and at the Nuggets. And they just have to respond to it. And I think they will. The more they see those kinds of looks defensively, Brady, the better they're going to be at it. So I like the fact that you're throwing different. And last night, you're right. It wasn't a, hey, when he gets the ball, go double team him. It was, man, we got this scheme. We're going to deny him. We're going to do this. We're going to junk it up a little bit and kind of throw them off. And it's like a football team that it's normally a running team comes out and throws 10 passes in a row. So you're not expecting it as a defense, and you're not expecting that as an offense if you're the Nuggets. So I think they'll adjust to it, and especially when they get some guys back and especially some veterans back, they'll adjust to those kinds of defenses. But you know what I like about it is that you're all worried about one guy on the other team. So you're so worried about defensively, how are we going to stop this guy, that I think everything else gets kind of mixed up a little bit, including your offense. You're thinking about defense so much, you're not thinking about scoring. So I kind of like it. And, they threw it at the Nuggets, and the Nuggets responded to it, and they got the victory nonetheless.
Jerry, you've seen some of the greatest Nuggets of all time in your broadcasting career. During your broadcasting career, before and after, is Joker just above him, beyond the best Nugget of all time, or is it still pretty close in your mind?
No, he's the best. I mean, he's the best of all time that I've ever seen because he's so unique. You know, I've seen players that are kind of similar. You know, Carmelo Anthony and, Alex English were kind of similar type of players, kind of that same size, and they were scorers. But this guy's different. This guy can score. He can handle the ball. He can pass. He can rebound. I told this to Tanner Schwint the other day. I really believe that if he wanted to, now he doesn't want to do it, but I think he could average 50 points a game if he really wants. They give him the ball every possession. Yeah. He's out there 45 minutes, and he takes a shot every time. He's going to score 45 or 50 points a game. The great thing about him is he doesn't want to do that. He wants to score when the Nuggets need to score, and he wants to win the game. And so that's what I like about him. Just a complete player, unique player. He's the unicorn. And to answer your question, long answer to your question, but yes, he's the best Nugget I've ever seen.
I think you know when there's absolute greatness there, when they can kind of be passive and say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to score now. The game's not calling for me to score. When they could, he could take it every time. And you're right, he could easily hit 50, but he's looking around the floor, trying to get teammates involved. And I think that's why Greg Popovich compares him to LeBron James so much, because in that regard, they are very similar.
Exactly right. Just versatile players like that. I think Jokic probably sees the floor a little bit better than LeBron does. He's got more assists. And I was looking at some stats the other day, and he's going to have Joker's going to have every record offensively with the Nuggets when he's done. If he has another contract or two, stays around, has some longevity, doesn't get hurt, he's going to have every single record. There are two records he's probably not going to get. One of those is blocks. Dikembe Mutombo's block record, probably not going to be touched, which, by the way, is really impressive. He did it in 5 years. He's got 1,400 blocks in 5 years, which is incredible. And then free throw percentage, which is a little over 92% by Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I don't think anybody's going to catch that one either. But other than that, Joker's going to have every single record with the Nuggets when he's done.
Yeah, it truly is a special time to be a Nuggets fan. Jerry, it was. I mean, it still could be a very special season for UNC. You had the game on Saturday, your call. And I always say it, win or lose, blowout or not, you make these games entertaining. And it's been an absolute joy to have you on KFK broadcasting these games. However, the Bears lose 85-71, could never really get a handle in this one. And so I want you to kind of take us through what happened in this one against Sac State.
Yeah. First, thanks for the kind words, Brady. I appreciate that. You know, I think it was one of those perfect storms. It was Sacramento State hitting a lot of shots they don't normally hit. They're not a good three-point shooting team coming in the whole year, and they hit 50%. There were guys that are below 40% as shooters were 60, 70% in that ball game, and they just couldn't seem to miss. I mean, and that the more they made, talking about the Hornets, the more confidence they got. They just kept coming at UNC. And I think the biggest thing was they controlled the pace. They wanted to slow the game down. They didn't want to get an 80-point game, and they ended up scoring 85 points, like you said, but they wanted to slow the game down. I think they took the Bears out of their own game offensively. And then the other part of that perfect storm was 5-for-25 on three-point shooting for UNC, which is the worst they've had all year by far. They're a very good three-point shooting team. Couldn't hit one. And then when they made their runs, Sacramento State just came back. Each time the Bears made a little run and got it down to 12, I think early in the second half, I thought, all right, here we go. Going to be a 5-to-10-point win. And Sacramento State just came back. They just battled. They got physical and battled. So like Steve Smiley said after the game, he said, you know what, we got out-physical in this one. We got out-muscled, and we're not that kind of team. That's not going to happen to us very often, but it sure did on Saturday.
Yeah, was that one of those things, Jerry, where you look at it and say, man, that's just one of those oddball games. I don't expect that to really be the norm for UNC.
Yeah, totally. I think I said that after the game too, Brady, was this is not the UNC team that we are going to see on a night-to-night basis. It's one of those games, and everybody has them. We know now that nobody's going to go undefeated in the league. Everybody's got at least one loss, including the Bears now. So, but every team has those kinds of games, and they aren't quite good enough to overcome a bad shooting game like that, especially when the other team is shooting well. So I think it's a little bit of an aberration. They're a much better team than they showed Saturday, no question.
What are your thoughts on Bodie Hume? Love the guy. We talk to him every week. He can have games where he'll go off for 30. We saw him do that against Colorado State at the time, of course. They were ranked. And then we can see him kind of quiet down and you know, get in foul trouble, whatever, can't find that shot. Is he going to turn it around consistent to the point where he's consistently in those 20s or so?
That's sure what we're looking for, Brady. No question about that. And I think he is a little bit on a roller coaster, both physically and emotionally. I think when he gets in foul trouble, he really gets down on himself. When he doesn't get shots to go early on, I think he loses a little confidence, gets down on himself. You see him hanging his head. The body language doesn't look good at times for him. And Coach Smiley said the same thing about him. He said, well, he's just got to get more consistent. And when that shot is not falling, the great players, even at this level, you know this, Brady, they do other things. They play defense. They block shots. They You know, they help on the double team. They find the open man, whatever it might be. And Bodie's just not quite doing that. I think when he gets down, the shot's not going early. He's not getting to the rhythm. I think he gets down on himself a little bit. And then the rest of his game goes a little bit south. So, yeah, still looking for him to get more consistent. We know this. He's a talented player. Man, he can fly. I mean, I haven't seen a guy in this league in the Big Sky be as athletic at 6'8 as he is. So on certain nights, going to get those 30 points because he is so athletic and get that three-point shot going as well.
Yeah, I know Bears fans hoping he can really find that consistency for sure. Well, we were supposed to have a game tonight against Portland State. It's the norm throughout the country as far as cancellations, postponement. That game, I believe, Jerry, set for January 31st now, right?
Correct. Yep. That is correct.
All right, so we'll see on Saturday then, going up against Northern Arizona, see if this Bears team can get back on their winning ways. Still looking really good in the conference. I know that last one was a rough outing for the Bears, but they can very much do some big things in this conference.
Yeah, no question. They're 3-1, and they've beaten three very good teams, maybe the top three teams besides the Bears in the league. They have already beaten so Montana, Montana State, and Southern Utah. So, it's a good team, Bodie. Brady, I think they're going to be there at the end. I really do. I think they're going to contend for a conference championship. And we know this. What it all comes down to is you're setting yourself up for the conference tournament. One team from the league that's going to go to the dance, and one team only. So set yourself up. Try to get a good seed and win three games in Boise come early March.
Boy, Jerry, I've always been frustrated with especially the way some of these conferences are allowed to do it, because you could be playing some of your best basketball and then you get into the tournament, you have one bad game,
yep,
and it's over. But I know that's kind of how it goes. You're reserving the at-large for other teams and such for those bigger conferences. But boy, that's frustrating, isn't it? It's almost like the season isn't that meaningful as long as you just get into the tournament.
I always wondered, like a Big Sky team, Brady, if they went undefeated the whole year and then got beat in the tournament.
Right.
They come in, they're, you know, 30-2 or 30-1 of the season, and they still can't make the tournament. What a travesty that would be. So, you know, I don't think it's happened for a while. It may not happen, but I would thought that's very interesting. No at-large berth for a Big Sky team, which I think is a little bit unfair. I think they should be a little more open-minded about that.
At least give us a percent, you know, even a 1% chance, right? I mean, even that we would be okay with.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly. Jerry, always appreciate you, man. Like I said, one of the things I look forward to is as I'll sit down and I'll put a different game on in the background or something, and then I go to our TuneIn app and I just listen to Jerry Schimmel call UNC Bears games, and it's so much fun. I almost hate to go to the games because then I'm, you know, I can hear you on the phone, but then I'm ignoring the people I'm with.
Well, then come and sit with me.
Next, I'm definitely making the plans. The Weber State game, I have had that one circled, so I'm definitely going to be there. Maybe we'll jump on and tell some knock-knock jokes. You know, that could be fun.
Hey, I'm in. Let's go.
All right, Jerry, appreciate you, man. Amazing Americans, you do. You truly get some amazing Americans on that program. I know we air that program here over the weekend. Do you have what you have set up yet for this weekend? I know it's kind of a work in progress throughout the week.
Yes. If you're an NFL fan from the 90s, you probably remember, I don't know, let me ask you this. Remember Napoleon Kaufman?
Napoleon Kaufman? Oh, Mike is going crazy back there. I think he was a diehard fan.
Yeah, I followed him when he was at
Washington.
He played
for the Raiders for 6 years, and right in the middle of his prime, Brady, I'm 28 years old, he walks away from the game, retires from the game of football, making millions and upon millions, and felt the call of God to become a pastor. So he started his own church. He's a pastor of a huge church in Northern California and got this incredible story. So, yeah, Napoleon Kaufman's my guest this weekend.
I think it's such an amazing, and that's an amazing guest, too. And it's such a unique program, some truly fantastic stories. And I know you told me before, you're like, Brady, I got hundreds of these ready to go, hundreds upon hundreds. So I'm always excited. I always look out for your posts of who you're going to have on each and every weekend.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I tell you what, it's been fun, I know, for people to hear these motivating stories. Well, it's been a blessing for me, too, to be able to have these people tell them and get some people off the couch and motivate them and inspire them a little bit. And so that's the whole idea behind the show, and I appreciate you guys airing the weekends here.
You almost have me inspired enough to request going on a bike ride with you, but I think that would be bad news for me. I'm pretty
Let's
sure.
Let's go.
I mean,
Let's
you go across go. The country. I have a hard time getting to the mailbox. So
you know what?
That would
we'll
be
just
tough.
Go across the street. How's that?
That would be good. That would be good. I would settle for that. Start small. Yeah. Jerry, yeah. Appreciate you, my friend, and we'll look out for you. We'll look out for you for the coaches show, of course, okay. Tomorrow night. So we'll be excited for that.
Sounds great, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, host of Amazing Americans. You guys got to check that show out. It is wonderful. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Hull Show. Broncos have, as I mentioned, requested permission to interview Eric Bieniemy for their head coaching position. Is this going to be the opportunity that he finally gets? Because he's been the big name that I ask anybody, maybe throughout the NFL, and they say, hey, why does this guy not have a job? Why does he not have a job? Does he not do well in the interview process? Oh, the Broncos will interview him. Loading it up, man. A lot of people so far. Zach said he thought we might see up to 10 names on this list. The Broncos, okay, Zach just posted this out moments ago. The Broncos don't need to request permission to interview Doug Peterson since he took this past year off. Oh, yeah, that's good to know. They don't have to request permission for that. So far, here's the requests. Gerard Mayo, the linebackers coach for the New England Patriots. Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. You got one of those guys in that list so far with past head coach experience in Dan Quinn. They don't have to request, again, Doug Peterson, so they could very well be setting up an interview with him. They just don't have to make that public. Two defensive minds, three offensive minds. Yes, Michael.
Bieniemy is 52 years old. Would you get rid of your age exemption?
My age exemption? I guess my big question about Bieniemy is why hasn't he had a head coaching job so far?
Like, I don't know.
Because he's been interviewed a lot.
Maybe he limps too much.
What is that? I don't know.
He had that horrible injury.
Okay.
CU grad, though, I think a lot of Broncos fans would like that.
Yeah, but he's got it. I don't know. Smitty just texting in. He's got an interesting past. My question is, does he not do well in the interview process?
You know what? About the interesting past, I think a lot of people have an interesting past. What is your present now?
Oh, that's very deep. What are you, like sensei or something?
If he's done some questionable things in the past.
Well, he's clearly cleared up enough to be the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. I mean,
yeah.
Clearly a big-time organization like that trusts him. Jim Harbaugh's name is out there. I see that as another pipe dream. I said to start the show when it comes to grading the are you with me on this? Or do you want – I'm talking about the retread. I'm not really on about the retread right now. I'm looking at young and up-and-coming type situations. I look at the Rams. I look at the Packers. I mean, they're having fun. Like, and I know it's not all about fun, but they're in – I know it's crazy to say this, too, but they're out there. They're advertising their team. They're marketing their teams. They're popular. I know it's not a popularity contest, but I'm done with this old-school death by inches – you know, this is the way we did it in 2008. This is the way we did it in 1999 under that head coach. I'm done with all that stuff. And I'm not saying old coaches that have been in the league, like Bill Belichick and those guys, aren't great or are not legendary. They are.
But because they adapt.
What do you have a better chance of making a Dan Quinn into a legendary coach or making a Byron Leftwich into a legendary coach? It's the same argument I have with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. Go with guys with a lot of upside. These Dan Quinns, I mean... Okay, he went to a Super Bowl. He had the most epic of meltdowns in Super Bowl history, which might have ruined him as a head coach, to be real honest with you. So I'm looking for upside. I'm looking for upside, creativity, And I know that you're saying, hey, leadership, we don't know that they have that if they're young and they're just coordinators. Well, they're leading an offense. Let's read a couple of texts. Wow, we got a lot of things here. Pillow Fight Dan loading us up. Flores ain't going to take a DC job. He's a head coach somewhere next year. I agree. Don't want anything to do with Harbaugh. I agree. McDaniels has been linked to a Houston opening and the Vikings job. Cool. Dan Quinn or no one. Player-run organization. He also declined an invitation to interview for the Jags, so at least we know Quinn is a good decision maker. Decent point. Don't want to go to Byron Leftwich might go to Jacksonville. Because that's, you know, that's where he started in his career.
And
as
that's
a quarterback.
Where he'll end his head coaching career.
Perhaps. But could Jacksonville give him some, I don't know. Jacksonville, who the hell wants that job? Dan Quinn, an OC who can run the Shanahan offense, and Deshaun Watson. Let's go, baby. You want to go with the Deshaun Watson thing, not knowing everything? I'm not ready yet, because what's going to happen if you do go that route and then the stories resurface? They will. They absolutely will. As soon as he jumps ship and goes to a new team, we're starting this whole thing. This whole thing over, man. I'm reading some text from earlier. Really wish I could see the look on Brady's face when Tanner said trade for Sean Payton. Yeah, Tanner's living in Madden fantasy world. He's trade for Sean Payton, trade for Aaron Rodgers, you know, buy a jet, park it on top of the stadium, put the stadium in space. I mean, come on, man. Come on. New ideas are great, but if they don't possess elite leadership, it doesn't matter. Dan Quinn is known as an elite leader. Surround him with new ideas, and that's the dream. I don't hate Ken. Looking at Ken Bone's text. I don't hate Dan Quinn. I don't hate the idea of that. They should look at Jason Brown. His interviews would be fun. Eastside Chris. Mayfield and Harbaugh. Again, he's pushing for that. He's pushing hard for that. Dixon. Brady, from an outsider point of view, I think Dan Quinn would be the best option for the Broncos, but good chance that doesn't happen within the next 10 days if the Cowboys keep advancing. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think the Broncos want to get this thing done in 10 days. I think they want to get well ahead of the free agency period, the draft, so that whoever that head coach is can come in and start moving on the next quarterback and then everything else. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break, wrap up the show on the other side. What's on the tube? We got the national championship game. I haven't talked a lot about it. Sorry, but when it comes to a head coach firing in our own backyard, that tends to take over the headlines of the day. But we'll give our picks at least coming up next.
Legendary broadcaster Jerry Schammel this season for UNC basketball coverage. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. National Championship Night. Got it on ESPN. Georgia taking on Alabama. The last time we saw those two teams, Alabama, and they were dogs in that game, and they ended up winning pretty big. Are they going to do the same thing tonight? What do you think? Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite.
Roll dogs? Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to...
That's who you're predicting to win or who you want to win?
That's who I want to win.
I mean, I picked Bama to beat Georgia last time, and it worked out. 41-24.
I think Bama does it again.
I've gone back and forth with this one. It's hard to beat a team twice in any kind of football. It's hard to do that.
How about I put money on Alabama and you put money on Georgia so that Alabama loses?
Yeah. What are you saying? My picking is that good? Oh, I appreciate
no,
that.
No, my picking is that bad. Actually, usually when I try to help a team win
pick
by
against
picking
them.
Against them, I end
smart.
Up winning. It sucks.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with just what my gut. I'm going to say Georgia wins. I'm going to say Georgia covers. Georgia covers tonight. The -2.5 win by a field goal. How about that? It'll be fun. This is a bit of a weird buildup for this one. Are people kind of over Bama being in the national championship? Are they? The buildup hasn't been there. But I guess the NFL was so wild. Like, this weekend, there were so many meaningful games. The most meaningful games we've had at, the final week of the season. So did that take away from some of the college football hype leading into this game? Or is it just me? All right, that's going to do it for us. Fun Monday. Thanks to Jerry Schimmel for joining us. Zach Stevens jumping on Talking Broncos with us. We'll get back at it on a Tuesday. The search is going gangbusters right now with George Payton. We'll see how many names he adds to that list by 12 o'clock tomorrow. We got Betting Across America. They'll be talking national championship. Who are they going with? And then the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary coming up at 3 o'clock. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.